Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, no, 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 they have not blown Larry Richardson away. I got several text messages last night, emails. Anybody know about Larry? Should we go pick up Larry? Is Larry going to be okay? And Larry's live and well here this morning. And Larry, for those of us who aren't following it as closely as you are, because you're right in the middle of that storm down there, situation's changed a little bit. Give us a little update, Larry, from your standpoint about what we're not hearing up here.
Okay, well, they have to go by the forecast models because that's the only way they have to kind of prognosticate the future. And the models now put the center of the storm north of me, about 50, 60 miles somewhere in there. So on the south side, the winds won't be as bad. And they'll be in a direction that's better for us than coming onshore. So it's not all that bad.
So turn south, is that what it was, Larry?
No, it's not going to turn south the way they thought it was. It's going to, when it gets close, it's going to go on, you know, inland in a westerly direction. That's what they're saying now.
So it's still a powerful storm, but it's going to be, the water is going to be the biggest issue, right, Larry?
It's such a slow storm. It's going to dump a lot of water. But one thing I want to say is, you know, I appreciate all the emails that I've received and everything. I thank you guys for your concern and all. But when the Holy Spirit told me, you know, don't pack up and leave, just tie down and stay. I wasn't figuring, well, it's going to miss me or it's going to hit me really hard. I was saying that's what the Holy Spirit told me to do. I trust the Holy Spirit. And, you know, like the guys in the fiery furnace, hey, Nebuchadnezzar, you can throw us in there and our God may rescue us. But if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down to you anyway. So,
well, Larry, it's a good thing I'm not going to have to be picking up any of your body parts up here in Ohio. It's all good to hear. And get an umbrella. Hey, Chad, what's going on down there in Texas, man? Big event coming this weekend. Can't wait. My wife and I will be doing live and in color tomorrow morning from the Estes Ranch. You don't want to miss that show. Give us an update there, Chad.
Well, we're busier than a one-legged man in a bucket-kicking contest trying to get everything together. We've got a good break in the weather. Things are kind of drying up. There is some rain still expected to come, but I think it's going to be like an hour a day or whatever. So it's not going to be the entire time. So we'll be fine. We're going to be fine. For those who are unable to get here on Friday night at 7 p.m., it's okay because our official kickoff is at 10 a.m. on Saturday morning, 10 a.m. Then we're going to run all day. So if you can only make one day, make Saturday. That's going to be most beneficial. We want everyone to be able to leave here, have learned something. That's all I got, Dave. Thanks.
And connect, right? Connect with each other, right? Get to know each other, man. I'm excited. You know what my wife said to me last night as we were having that little pillow talk as we were lying off to sleep? She said, it's going to be so good just to be around good Christian people and be able to fellowship with them. And isn't that really it? Isn't that really what our heart, all of our hearts yearn for? I mean, I know that's what mine does. And to think we can just get away and like-minded people are not going to argue with us. And not that we're all in agreement on everything, but it'll be some great, great fellowship. Hey, Rob Pugh, how are things going on up there in Wisconsin, buddy? I see you're in here. I don't know if you're able to come and talk to us or not. I know you're working your tail off to try to get your event up and running. There you are. Come on,
doing
in.
Okay. Doing all right, Coach. It's busy. I head out on my route today, so it's early morning, and I got to hit the road in a few minutes. So,
But Rob, it tends to get frustrating, doesn't it, because you're putting all that time and effort and energy in, and it seems like your helpers get fewer and fewer and fewer and fewer. We try to tell everybody that this is not for everybody. It's not for everybody, but it's for some of us, the ones who have the ears to hear. So don't get discouraged there, Rob. I know that I know you got a lot of balls in the air, man. Any word on your house?
We have a showing today, so we'll see what happens.
Well, Lord, we just pray right now that your will would be done, that those people are going to come in there. That's a house that they've been looking for, Lord, and that Rob's going to sell that, his home, quickly, and that his steps going to be ordered by you. You delight in his way. Jesus' name. So let it be written. So let it be done. Who was that? That was Pharaoh said that. I think it was. Anybody for the good of the group before I jump in here? Any little news updates, anything anybody wants to throw on the table here? We're still looking for places to come in January and February. I heard from one yesterday. Didn't really get back to him. Didn't have time to get back to him. We're still looking for places to come. We want to come down there and organize a rally right where you are. Yeah, come on in. Is that you, Lowell?
Yeah, don't forget September 29th. You're in Ohio.
September 29th. We're gearing up here. Lowell's got the... got some exciting things going on. Go to our Coach Dave Live page, event page. There's all kinds of good stuff there. Listen, I want to say this again, folks. You say, Coach, I've never organized anything like that. Well, was there a first time you had never kissed a girl before? Was there a time you'd never been fishing before? Was there a time you'd never driven a car before? Was there a time? Yeah, I think so, right? So step out of your comfort zone. Say, I don't have any idea what I'm doing, but Coach, I feel like I ought to do it. Well, let's go. You get a hold of us, and we're going to come. We're going to put on a huddle right where you live. It's not going to cost you money. We'll put up the funds to rent the building. Whatever we have to do, we'll help you with promotion. We'll do whatever. But I can promise you this: there are people right where you are that are within a few hours. Some of them are watching the show, but a lot of them have been red pilled. And they're looking for fellowship. And just like I said, like Chad just spoke about there, we got to get people together. The time is now to do that, okay? So if I'm talking to you, you say, you know, Coach, I live down here in Alabama. Well, okay, I'm going to come to Alabama. I'll bring a banjo on my knee when I come. We're going to come. Yeah, all you got to do is offer. Say, Coach, come on down here, and we will. So you can contact us through the website, CoachDaveLive.com. And we want to help this thing expand. Folks, it is now. Now is the time. Now is the time. Now is the time. Not next year, not after Trump's reelect. Now is the time. The time. And I want to veer into something. I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but I want to veer into it. Most of you got the commentary that I wrote today. And I'm getting a lot of response already this morning. And I just want to throw this out on the table, and I want you to think about it. And the title of it, I think, I don't have it in front of me. The title of it is "The Big Talkers Need to Do Something." And I go into talking about Limbaugh and Levin and Hannity and the fact that they don't do anything. We look at the left. The left is so organized. People out on the street here, phone calls here. Some speaker is going to be speaking in some city, and the left shows up. And we are so disorganized. And there are 65 million deplorables. That's what they called us, right? 65 million. How many people of those 65 million, how many do you suppose listen to Rush, Hannity, Levin, Savage? Who else can I throw in? It doesn't matter. Just those four. Beck. How many of those 68 million deplorables do you suppose listen to those guys? And I would say, what, half of them? 60%, 70% of them probably are. And can somebody explain to me why those guys never organize anything? Never, ever, ever. If Rush Limbaugh could close down Planned Parenthood tomorrow, why won't he do it? Why won't he turn his audience loose and close down Planned Parenthood? Organize a rally. He doesn't have to go. Just organize a rally here and give phone numbers to call and congressmen to get a hold of and turn that audience loose. 68 million deplorables. Why won't he do that? Why won't Glenn Beck? Why won't Glenn Beck say, you know what? I'm kind of curious about, I'm sick and tired. I'm 17 years later, I'm sick and tired of these lies about 911. We know what they told us isn't the truth. Why doesn't Glenn Beck organize some type of resistance to find out exactly what happened on 911? Why won't he do that? Why won't Sean Hannity look around and say, you know what? That Clinton Foundation, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of them getting away with it. And I'm going to organize phone calls and letters and marches until we get to the bottom of it. Why don't they do that?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I'll tell you in real shortly why they won't. None of them will touch the Jewish cabal, which controls it all. That's the bottom line.
Well, it certainly has something to do with paychecks, doesn't it? See, folks, they're what I call controlled opposition. I like listening to all of them, but Rush Limbaugh is nothing more than a color analyst at a football game. You turn on Rush Limbaugh today, and he's going to tell you what the left's doing and what the right's doing. Not only that, he's going to tell you how right the right is and how wrong the left is. And then he's just going to analyze it. And Chuck Schumer said this, and Hillary Clinton said this, and John Podesta said this, and Trump said this, and see you tomorrow. And we'll come back in, we'll tune in tomorrow, and everything's safe because Rush is in control. And we'll turn in Sean, and Sean's got all these people listen to him on the radio, and all of them will watch him on TV, and he'll come in, and he'll bring in Sebastian Gorka, and he'll bring in all these people, and they'll tell us what's going on, and there ain't nobody doing a damn thing. And while they're doing that, while we're analyzing the football game, Rush Limbaugh's the John Madden of politics. He just analyzes. He never played the game, couldn't play the daggone game. Oh, he can sure analyze it, right? I want to know something. While they're doing all the analysis of the game, the left is occupying. The left is playing. The left is taking over the schools. The left is taking over our churches. The left is taking over the government. And Sean and Levin, they sit back and they analyze it. They just say, yep, see, here it is. See it? Oh, there they are, the left. All those liberals. Oh, those liberals. Oh, my liberal good. Democrat. Oh, yeah, Democrat. Oh, my conservative bad. I'm sick of it. You understand the power we have? And nobody will organize it. And you can say all you want to about Alex Jones. Why is the left after Alex Jones? Because he does stuff. He does stuff. Say, well, coach, he's just controlled opposition. He's controlled by the Jewish bankers too. Maybe he is. But he's doing stuff. He's doing stuff. And they're banning him from everything. Hey. When's the last time Limbaugh had to be banned on Facebook? I wonder. When's the last time somebody threatened to take down the Limbaugh app? Can we see it? Can't we get this? Can't we get this? Why can't a guy like somebody emailed me this morning? Why can't a guy like Jesse Lee Peterson? How come he doesn't have a national platform? Why is it everywhere you drive in America? Somebody help me out. I'm going to give you Columbus, Ohio, okay? 9 o'clock, Beck. Noon, Limbaugh. 3, Hannity. 6, Levin. All across America. Oh, they'll throw a savage in there every once in a while. And all they do is freaking talk. That's all they do. Never do anything. Rush Limbaugh, talent on loan from God. 6, however many million people listen to him do. And what does he do? What the hell does he do? And while we are rolling downhill morally, and our nation is being stolen from us, he's doing a freaking play-by-play analysis of it. Okay, I got that out of me. You can find that commentary at CoachDaveLive.com and many more places coming your way. The Muslim, I just saw Larry's face there. The Muslim threat, is anybody talking about it? Anybody? No. Hey, how about this one? Alex Jones gets banned on all. I'm not singing Alex Jones's praises. Relax. But Alex Jones gets banned on all these platforms. Limbaugh been talking about that? Hannity been talking about that? Levin? See, they're all too jealous of each other. Somebody's going to get bigger market share than what they are. Anybody coming to their defense? Has Limbaugh organized any type of organized pushback against Facebook? Telling his 60 million listeners, hey, call this. Here's the number. Call this number. Has he done that? He said, oh, no, I don't do boycotts. Can I tell you why? Are you ready? Huh? Well, and I'm going to really make you mad. Rush Limbaugh, when he was in high school at Cape Girardeau, Missouri, he was the manager on the basketball team. Let that sink in. He was the manager. He was the guy that carried the towels in the water bucket and got the tape. He was the manager on the basketball team. So what are you saying, coach? I'm saying he's been an analyst his whole life. He's never stepped on the most competition he's ever had is golf. 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 I bet he never played football. I bet he never did anything competitive ever.
And what the big voice on the right, talent on loan from God. You know what I think? I think he's a coward. I think he's a coward.
And you know what? Somebody likes him that way, don't they?
Turn him on noon all across America. There's Rush Limbaugh giving us his analysis.
I'm sick of it. All right. Somebody want to amen or remind that?
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Amen.
I sure wish you'd quit stomping on America's sacred cows.
Yeah, yeah. Quit doing that. I'm just jealous of Rush. That's what they say. You're just jealous of me.
Coach, every time I manage to get the call screener on either Rush or Laura Ingraham or Hannity or any of them, and I mention anything about the threat of Islam, oh, that's not our subject today. Call in when that's our subject.
Yeah, that's right. You know what else? This is going to really tick them off. Hey, Chad, you listening out there? I know you are. You guys listening out there? Alex Jones, Owen Schroyer, is doing a protest Planned Parenthood event in Austin, Texas, on November 10th. I won't sound like I'm important. Alex Jones is doing stuff. He's doing stuff. And who hates him? Everybody doesn't do anything. Same people that hate me, the same pastors who don't do anything, hate me because I'm doing something. I'm making it look bad, showing what we could do were we to get involved. Hey, pastor, they've seized your schools. They're teaching your children doctrine. They're teaching your children doctrines of devils. They're teaching the children in your community how to have anal and oral. Yes, they are. I'll turn on Rush, see what Rush has got to say about it. All right. I got that out of me. You can find that commentary, Coach Dave Live, and as I said, some other places. Got a quiet group out there today. No, I'm not done with Kinsey. No, I'm not done with him either. I want to show you something else. Boy, I got a lot of stuff to throw out there. Hey, Jared, let's do this. Pull up that first thing I got there. Strong talkers, I put up on it, Jared. I came across this. I said, this is it. I was laying in bed just before I fell asleep last night. My wife mentioned something about somebody had commented that I'm getting more and more radical. Older I get, getting more and more radical, or something to that effect. Now, see, somebody might feel bad about that. To me, that's a badge of honor. A badge of honor, to be honest. I'm 65. I'm not coasting. I'm not. I'm popping the clutch. I'm just getting gone, boys. Jared, pull up strong talkers. This made me feel good too. This made me
and
feel
Coach, good. Always remember this. It was the old muscle cars that were the fastest anyway.
Hey, baby, thank you, man. Give me one of those old 1966, 68 GTOs. Give me one of those things. What was the Roadrunner? Is that what they were called? Okay, wake up. How many times do you judge by the way you talk, dress, or drive a car? We live in a judgmental society. Have you ever noticed that people like to judge, yada, yada, yada? I'm trying to hurry through this. So let's roll on down, Jared. With this being said, the article focuses on intimidating people. I'm an intimidating person, they tell me. And here's what makes you an intimidating person. You always speak the truth. Guilt? Anybody out there guilty? If you are, you're an intimidating person. My brother told me this yesterday. I didn't know this. He said, give him hell, Harry. Harry Truman. We all remember that, right? Give him hell, Harry. Well, that's not really what Harry Truman said. Harry Truman said, I just tell him the truth and it sounds like hell. Huh? That's it. You always speak the truth. Anybody relating to this? Number two, you're open-minded and willing to do new things. You make people nervous if you're open-minded and you're willing to do new things. Or look at new perspectives from the Bible. You make people nervous. You're supposed to be closed-minded. You're supposed to do it this way. Number three, you create solutions in an innovative way. Anybody being pointed out here other than me? That's me. That's me. Thank you. Thank you. Four, I feel better after we did. You are direct and straight to the point. Somebody say amen if you're one of them folk. I'm going to wait. I want to hear an amen out there.
Amen, Coach.
Amen.
Yep.
Amen.
They don't like it, right? They don't like it,
amen.
Right?
Amen.
Yep. Coach, you're just
amen.
You're so opinionated. Damn right I am. 5, you're strong-willed. If you are, you make people nervous. Make them nervous. Good thing, baby. Put on a helmet. You hate complainers. Oh, my goodness. Woo-wee. I hate complainers.
Amen.
Do something about it. 7, you're kind. You're a kind person, especially in this mix. I try to be kind. 8, I don't like small talk. I don't like it. I cut to the chase. I ain't got time for it. 9, you're wise. Anybody's got the Holy Spirit and follows the Holy Spirit's wise. 10, you don't tolerate willful ignorance. Dun, 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 dun! That's me. And if that's you, you know this. You make people nervous. God bless you. People need to be made nervous. All right, you can pull that off there. Anybody want to weigh in there? Oh, I got so much to do today. I may have to say some more for Chad's tomorrow.
I like to add in there that also if you're armed, that also makes people nervous.
If you're armed?
If you're all that and armed, they really don't like you.
Okay, now listen, I debated whether I was going to do this, but I just have to do this. Jared, get ready. It says 50s TV. Because here's what I have to set this environment for you. Understand this. Alfred Kinsey, when Alfred Kinsey released his book, his study of pedophilia and all that stuff, we're going to get into that a little bit. Let's remember the time frame in which he did it. He released it, heard yesterday, 1948. You think about the 50s and what it was like in the 50s and all the great things that have gone on and birth of rock and roll music and everything. And the importance of television and directing and guiding the morals of people, right? Everybody's television was new. There were three stations. There were three channels. Everybody was doing sitcoms. Everybody's morality was the same. You knew who the good guy, you know, the good guys wore white hats and the bad guys wore black hats. There were no doubt about it. You knew who it was. Our TVs taught morals. They taught standards. They taught people how to believe. They taught the family was important. Compare that to where we are today with our media. Okay. And I just want to show this. This was the top 10. This is about 10 minutes long, but I think you'll enjoy it. The top 10 most influential TV shows of the 1950s. And think about what we're watching on TV today. I'm going to tie this together with Alfred Kinsey, okay? Go ahead and play this, Jared.
Even when the medium was just starting out, it had some amazing series.
The Lone Ranger.
Welcome to WatchMojo.com, and today we're counting down our picks for the top 10 decade-defining TV shows of the 1950s.
Now with two heads, it occurs to me, I can think more clearly than with three.
For our series on the top decade-defining shows per era, we picked series that spoke to the period in which they were made and set the standard for television during that time.
No, not me. I'm not in your league.
These shows were chosen for how important they were in the 1950s, regardless of when they started or finished.
You know how it is.
Number 10, Father Knows Best.
I'm worried.
So am I. I don't know which is going to go first, the ceiling or my nerves.
Those who really know best can't get enough of this show.
I can use it.
The hilarious sitcom portrays middle-class Midwestern life by focusing on the Andersons.
Hello, brother.
A lovable family who is the ideal American clan.
Where are the children?
Kathy's next door. Betty's at a sorority meeting and Bud's upstairs.
Freeze out, Jack.
Quiet evening at home.
Okay, can you imagine this in America today? A middle-class family with a mother and a father and a family and keep going.
Quiet evening at home.
As children, Betty and Bud grew up and graduated from high school. Their parents tried to give them advice.
I think it's time you and I had a little talk.
The show was so ingrained in U.S. pop culture that the Treasury Department commissioned a propaganda episode, which never aired.
You sure there's no other catch to this?
No, that's all.
As with many 50 shows, it started out on radio, but it made the transition well and gained even more fans.
You can have a barrel of it, but it's not much good unless you work for it.
Number 9, Lassie.
To young Jeff Miller, I leave the best thing I've got. My dog, Lassie.
To me?
She's all yours, son.
This drama ran for a whopping 19 seasons, but its best years were the early ones, when it was still in black and white.
Why in tarnation didn't you say so in the first place?
The plots were often similar. One of the boys would get in trouble, and the titular collie would save him.
Lassie, listen to me. Go to the Brockways. Take this to the Brockways. Go to Porky's, Lassie. To Porky's. Go, Lassie. Run!
The stories were fairly simple, but they were entertaining and provided valuable moral lessons for their young viewers.
Huh?
That's why she barked. It's a bear track.
Winning 2 Emmy Awards in its early years and consistently winning its time slot, this series is a feel-good classic from the early days of television. Number 8, The Ed Sullivan Show. You ain't not but a hound dog. There was a lot of incredible music in the 1950s, and much of the public got their first exposure to artists through their appearances on this variety show.
As these youngsters from Liverpool, England, and their conduct over here not only as fine professional singers, but as a group of fine youngsters.
The series showcased performers ranging from Itzhak Perlman to Elvis Presley, and it became appointment viewing for families across the U.S. Come on, baby, come on and work it on out. Work it on out. No matter who was on, Sullivan was a gracious and charismatic host, and that's how his show lasted a spectacular 24 seasons, remaining relevant all the way through. Well, you ain't Number 7, The Lone Ranger.
The Lone Ranger.
Jared, you can stop. You don't have to go through all these. I'll make this video available for you. It's really, really good. And it takes you we have to understand this as the environment into which Kinsey came. Do you understand what I'm saying? Mom and Pop America, Father Knows Best, My Three Sons. Go through the, we could all name them. And it was a moral tone that was set in every one of those, Andy Griffith, a moral tone that was set in every one of those shows that showed that America had a common set of values. Inner Kinsey. Now, understand this, is the same thing I was just screaming about earlier. The left, the devil invades. The devil occupies. The devil infiltrates. And as the infiltration began in the 1960s, it began as a result of Alfred Kinsey and the destruction of the moral code. See, Alfred Kinsey told us that Father Knows Best what really was going on. When the dad went to work, mom went to play. You know what I mean? Or when dad went out the door, he wasn't really going to work. Began to undermine the moral basis through lies about what it was that the sexual behavior in the human male. Changed everything. Jared, pull up... number one there, Jared, it says, Kinsey Unmask. This is amazing. You'll be welcome to jump in here every you want, Tanya. I think this is important. This is called, this is a website called, I don't even know, Lie Chart. All right. Scroll on down there, Jared, because I want to read a little bit. Sex, Society, and Lie Chart. Maybe I pulled the wrong one. Go on down a little bit farther. I think I did. There you go. Just 3 years after World War II ended. Can you shrink that down a little bit for me, Jared? Just 3 years after, there you are. Just 3 years after World War II ended and the war heroes returned home. We were just watching it, right? Americans came under attack. This time it wasn't brutal dictators and their armies leading the assault. It was a pseudoscientist named Alfred Kinsey. In his 1948 book, Sexual Behavior in the Human Male, shocked the nation and lit a spark of what would become the sexual revolution. And America would never be the same. Scroll on down here. Dr. Judith Riesman continues to lift the veil on his work. Sabotage Buck, keep on going down. Kinsey fed Americans a pack of lies, starting with his claim that sexual behavior, widely accepted as wrong, was in fact commonplace. Robert Young went out and dingled little boys. That's what he was really doing. He wasn't really going to work. No, he wasn't. Leave it to Beaver wasn't really leaving it to Beaver. No, he wasn't. And there he pushed the lie that such behavior was normal. In other words, deviant behavior was normal. And finally, he advanced the lie that it was good, healthy, and to be encouraged. Thus, by degrees, Kinsey and his minions turns America's moral compass upside down, ultimately causing what had long been considered wrong to be embraced as right. Time out. Somebody say amen. I want to hear about 40 amens.
Amen.
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 And sexual behavior in the human male, they claim to have scientific data proving that based on their sexual practices, 95% of men could rightly be accused of some kind of sexual offense under the current law. Here's some of the statistics he made up. This is 1940. 67 to 98% of men had premarital sex. 69% of white males had at least one experience with a prostitute. 50% of husbands committed adultery. This is 1940. 50% of farm boys had sex with animals. Do you believe this? Regarding the last statistic, Kinsey wrote that humans engaging in sex with animals is biologically and psychologically part of the normal mammalian picture. We're just animals, right? Absurd and grotesque as that definition of normal is, it gets worse. Right? Reisman writes that Kinsey was the first acclaimed scientist to avow that virginity is unhealthy. Promiscuity helps marriages. Pornography is constructive. Obsessive masturbation and bestiality are never problematic. Bi and homosexual acts are normal, and children are appropriate sex partners for adults. I could go on and on and on and read this. This is another thing that you got to read. Kinsey created a scale. We shared that with you yesterday and said 10% of the male population was exclusively homosexual. We still have that statistic today, don't we? 10%. Kinsey made up that lie, and we still have that. Said 10% of the male population was exclusively homosexual, and most men now, Robert Young and the Lone Ranger, were squarely in the middle, bisexual. And nobody was exclusively heterosexual. But Kinsey told us. 1953, Kinsey published Sexual Behavior in Human Female. What did we find out about women? What did we find out about, Jackie Gleason's wife? What did we find out about her? Why 50% of women had premarital sex. 26% committed adultery by the age of 40. Remember, Kinsey is doing research on deviants, all right? And he's not only doing research on deviants, he's throwing out normal people. Oh, it's all in the book. It's all in the book. 28% of women went through an active homosexual period lasting more than 3 years. 28% of women for a three-year period were actively engaged in homosexuality in 1940. Together, the books began to erode American Judeo-Christian moral underpinnings. And who provided the basis of such implausible statistics? Well, according to Reisman, 68% of Kinsey's total samples of males were made up. You ready? Here's Kinsey's control group, draft dodgers, violent felons, homosexuals, and other aberrants. By 1946, Kinsey added 1,400 convicted sex offenders in penal institutions to the ones he researched, 200 sexual psychopath patients, and well over 600 sexually abused boys. In sum, 86% of deviant subjects define the libido of the greatest generation. Is this unbelievable? Oh, look, I got. Then they were extolled in the media. The media picked it up. Oh, this is, you know, keep scrolling down, Jared. So, in other words, all these men are all fighting that great war. All the time they were doing it, their wives are out screwing around with everybody else, having all kinds of fun. So, everybody's doing it. Feels good to do it. 1960s, just around the corner. Kinsey claims being both shocking, titillating, and eager, willing media was quick to spread the word. The August 24, 1950 issue of Time and Life magazines featured Kinsey on Time and Life. The article said, measure of indiscretion. It's shown in Dr. Kinsey's find 85% of men and 50% of women have had premarital sex. See, that was unthinkable back then. And 50% of men and 40% of women have been or will be unfaithful in the marriage. Oh, magazine told its readers that Kinsey and his team of researchers knew more about women than any men in the world. I don't want to keep reading. This goes on and on and on about what happened. Okay? So let me show you. So, Lord, just give me direction here. Anybody want to say anything? Let me stop a minute. Anybody want to say anything?
Well, you were saying.
Our laws and court and everything that's going on now, what this generation of trying to, this MAP or whatever they call it, male attractive persons, the pedophilia, the homosexual, the whole nine yards, all that came through him. And the CIA started this garbage. They helped him along with all the rest of them. Every time you turn around, they're putting somebody else in there, and it's called projection. This guy was a whack job from the pits of hell, and everything that he did and he liked, he projected it upon everybody else. Well, you must, you know, whenever you're guilty of something, people are guilty of something and they don't want to change it, they project it upon somebody else, and that's exactly right.
Even worse than that, Kinsey wrote this book, and it was prophetic. He wrote what he wanted America to become, and America became that. See, that's what America became. He tore apart Father Knows Best, I Love Lucy, which, by the way, was number one on the list. If you go back and look at that video, I Love Lucy was the number one most influential sitcom radio TV program in the 1950s. I Love Lucy. Think how innocent that was, right? And so this was not done by accident. Somebody come on in. I hear you.
Hey, coach. Coach.
George.
Morning is fantastic. You're making us aware of where all this came from. But I'll be honest with you. If I wasn't going to preach regularly and yesterday with a couple guys to the school, it ties it all together, and it's like, are we just going to be like Russ, or are we going to actually go make a difference? Because when you go to the public schools, you see exactly the fruit of what Alfred Kinsey has done. And you know what? It's up to each one of us to go to these schools and do what we can to rescue these children from this lie.
Jared, click on KinseyInstitute.org. It's the next to the last thing, Jared. Kinsey. So Alfred Kinsey is now honored in academia. He has his own school, it's Kinsey Institute at Indiana University. And look at the cover. Right there's the homepage. Exploring love, sexuality, and well-being. And what do they have? They got two lesbians there, right? Two lesbians. Evidently, love and sexuality can't be done by a man and a woman in the context of marriage. It has to be young people. Now, listen, I'm going. Okay, you guys need to go to this website and just check out some of the crap that's going on here at the Indiana University, publicly funded university based on lies. Look at this, Jared. Put that age and sexuality. So they say, oh, wow, the average age of first intercourse by gender in the United States, boys at 16, girls at 17. Teen sexual activity, 28% of all Americans over the age of 5 report they had sexual intercourse among 18 to 59, older age for men is associated with low, on and on and on. More of the lies. See, they told us what we were supposed to behave like, and then they got us to behave like that, and then they say it's normal. Do this. Don't have sex with animals. And it's normal, and then we're out having sex with animals and saying it's animals. That's what's happening, okay? Now, hang on. I feel this. I don't know if you know this. I feel this. Jared, let's go to collections. Click on collections. I want you guys to watch this. Library and special collections. I bet this would be good. Scroll down, bud. Sex library. Yeah, history of collections. Go on down, Jared. The sex library, unlike any other in America. Go on down. History of clan. Keep on going. Let's browse the archival collections. Let's go to the photography collection. Jared, click on that. Let's explore the art and artifacts. Okay, good. Hey, Jared, let's view all of our previous. Let's view our online galleries. That would be good, Jared. Let's view that. Oh, wait a minute. Verification. Oh. Well, what does it matter? Because, you know, everybody loves porn and everybody masturbates and it's normal because Kinsey told us that it was. So what the heck? But just in case, you have to say you're 18 years old to be able to look at some of these nice, this art. All right. So listen, if you're not 18 or if you're whatever, cover your eyes. It's just normal. Let's go to an online art gallery. This would be kind of neat. Hey, Jared, let's go to Nature and Nurture. Let's click on that. Now, you got to be over 18. I hope you're over 18. This is, by the way, it's okay because this is a university. This is Indiana University. Right there, Jared. Nature and the. Oh, now let's see here. What pictures would we like? Let's try this. Let's go down there and click on this picture of this black couple down there. Let's see what this. Here at Kinsey. This is art, by the way. Oh, man, that's some good. Click there, Jared. What's next? No, stay right down there. There, click. Oh, what a beautiful art this is. Next one, Jared. Oh, that is so beautiful. I can't wait to hang that on my wall. What's next, Jared? Yeah, next one. Right, folks, this is. I'm not going to continue to do this. This is going on as the church sleeps. As Rush Limbaugh talks about liberals and liberals good, Democrats bad, Republicans good. Spend some time on here, you're not going to believe it. You're just not going to believe it. Nobody does anything about it. Nobody does it. Well, first of all, nobody knows it. You think your pastor knows this? What, I'm sorry. Do you think he cares? I don't think he cares. Don't think he cares. Somebody rescue me before I go to the next thing. Anybody want to jump in here?
Coach, this is Karen. I noticed when you stopped reading on the other article was that the thing that he blamed a lot of the problems on was the church.
Oh, yeah, that church. Church is repressing people's natural inclinations and natural feelings. So we got to get rid of Father Knows Best, and let's have Heather Has Two Mommies on television or whatever it would be. And now we look on TV, and it's nothing but disjointed, dysfunctional families. That's all it is, right?
Hey, Coach, you know what? I went back actually and looked at one of these old episodes. I did that a while ago. I actually played an old episode of The Lone Ranger. You should see the moral undertone in that show.
It's all it is. It's all it is, brother. Remember this, in The Lone Ranger – he always wore a white hat. You always knew who the white hats were, and you always knew who the black hats are. Now you don't know anymore. Now you don't know. You play any scene, and I promise you, when the Lone Ranger is chasing somebody's down, that guy's got on a black hat. And he's always got on a white hat. You know what we got now? We got gray hats. You don't know who's good. You don't know who's wrong. You don't know who's right, and you don't know who's wrong. See, those who have sex with men in the rear end, they're gray hats. They're okay. It's okay. Why? Because Kinsey told us it's okay. And then he has a school. He has a school at Indiana University. It's science. He's telling us the truth. And you Christians, you're just old and repressive, and it's your fault that we're in this mess to begin with. If we could just act like rabbits, if we could just act like dogs, if we could just go around and sleep with everybody, whoever we wanted to, and if the government just gave everybody money, we wouldn't have this mess. It's you and you Christians. You Christians. You're the ones that are doing it. Yeah.
It's kind of like there's two ways to go about answering the question of I don't care, right? You could say, look, I don't care, and then go do something. Or you could say, I don't care, and just sit in your living room, right? A lot of people, they say, oh, I don't care, and then they just walk away, where it's like, well, if you really didn't care about what people thought or what people, you know, if you really didn't care, why not do something about it? Why not go out and do it then? If you don't care, if it doesn't bother you, go out and do something then.
Instead, Jared, we're just broadcasting with one arm tied behind our back, just to make it fair. Half my brain tied behind my... Where's
hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I promise I'll do something later today, Jared, after I listen to Rush Limbaugh. I promise.
Well, let's just understand this when you listen to him. It's just a play-by-play. It's just a color analysis. That's all it is. Rush is always talking about the play they just ran. Always. And then sometimes says, well, you better be careful for the bootleg because I've been studying these liberals my whole life and they run bootlegs. Well, I'll be ready for the bootleg. And then they run a bootleg and Rush comes on the next day and says, see, I told you, let me play the clip back here. I warned you they were going to run that bootleg. And he never, ever does anything to stop it. He knows the plays is coming, but he won't do it. Why? Oh, I don't want to get into that. Oh, man, I'm telling you, I am so wound up.
A true coach, a true pitcher of the church. They talk about what's going on in the world. They'll even talk about adultery, fornication. They'll talk about all the morning, and then what? Go home and watch a football game.
That's right. And what does the pastor do? He does color analysis too, right?
He says,
are you looking what's going on over here? Have you seen this kind of thing? Well, here's where this is what's going to happen next, boys and girls. Oh, yeah? It's like, hey, Larry, there's a flood coming your way, batten down the hatches. You don't sit there and let the flood come and say, well, I started that weatherman told me it was coming. I mean, it's like.
That's what.
I want to do something.
Same thing. I was on the phone with Flip yesterday. I said, Flip, you let me know. He said, no. He says, if somebody comes up and tells me, a pastor, whatever, because I asked him, what is your church going to do? I said, your church might not flood. I said, but something around you. He goes, I know who I'm going to call. I said, I know who will be there.
Yeah, we know who that is, don't we, huh? So listen, every one of you right now, put down November 10th on your calendar and begin to be in Austin, Texas, November 10th for this Planned Parenthood thing. I got more to add to that. But go ahead right now. Start putting $20 a month away. $20 a week. Start putting $20 a week away. Or you're just going to be nothing more than one of the ducks. Honk, 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 honk. Every time Limbaugh says something, honk, 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 honk. I agree with him. Boy, Rush is after him today. Oh, boy, he sure knows those liberals. Yeah. And we go farther and farther and farther and farther down the hill. Because when the show's over, you sit back and say, Rush is in control. He's got it all figured out. Do you understand that all this evil's happened over the 30 years where Rush Limbaugh's been on the radio 3 hours a day all across America, and he hadn't stopped the flood of darkness yet, not one iota? You guys do know that, don't you? Huh? Glenn Beck, give me a break. Glenn Beck's a Mormon. Say, well, why? So what's wrong with that, Coach? Well, he's not a Christian. Not a Christian. But he tells you he is, and he acts like it, right? Come on. Mark Levin, is he a Christian man? No. No, he's I believe he's Jewish. Well, Hannity, he'd be a good Christian man. Well, he's Catholic. Catholic. Michael Savage, well, he's a non-practicing Jew. Who's giving you, who in the media is telling you the truth? That is a righteous man. Rick Wiles is. They're going to ban him next. They'll ban him next. They're not going to let him do it. They're not going to let him get away with it. Jesse Lee Peterson. Are you kidding me? Hagman and Hagman? No way, man. We ain't going to let that stuff go on. So what happens? Glenn Beck, Rush Limbaugh signed $60 million contracts to sit there and continue to do the same thing for the next 5 years. And we look around and what are they doing on Facebook and social media? Shutting those voices down. Got to get Alex Jones out of there. Can't even let him have an app. Can't even let him have an app anymore. Cannot let him say what he wants to say. Come on. Can't we see this? That's why I'm telling you, we got to get together. Our time is short. Oh, I got 1,000 directions to go. Somebody come in here and rescue me.
I used to call them Secret Service Christians, and you profess God as your Lord and Savior, but you didn't do anything, and no one would ever know. Like, you ever heard that saying, is there enough in a court of law to convict you of being a Christian? I mean, what's the name Christian anymore? Who knows? You know what I mean?
We're just acting like
every morning we got to get with God, and he's got to tell us what we need to do. We need to get out there and do it. And thank you for that whole list that you wrote this morning. It was like, yes, yes, oh, no. Please forgive me about that. And one thing that you asked for, is there anything you wanted to bring up? Yes, there's one thing I do want to bring up. I need to repent to God for, and that's about praying for the white South African farmers, and I just watched early this morning the Hagman show had on 9/11 a man on the 9 o'clock hour, I believe, from South Africa. He's a 32 year young year old man whose family is a farmer. And they are killing them. It's another genocide, and it looks exactly like you were talking about, Coach, about the white African, or a white American Protestant males. They're doing the same thing. It mirrors exactly what they're doing in the UK. The same thing here. They're trying to wipe out the white.
That's right. Folks, let me just start right. Just bless you, dear. I don't mean to cut you off. It's just kind of what I do. No. I had to do this. I had to do this 2 days ago. On the 911 memorials. Now, I say never forget. Well, how about this? I'm not worried about never forget. How about never lie to me? How can we be 17 years removed from that and they still using that same story for what happened at 911? We know that's not how it happened. We know that's not how it happened. And yet, I don't care who it is, Limbaugh, Kennedy, they all get in and they talk about 911 and those Muslims sneaking in and this going on and, oh, never forget. And they continue to perpetuate the lie. Alex Jones says, that's a lie. That ain't how it happened. And boom, they ban him. You think Rush doesn't know that? You think Levin doesn't know that? You think Hannity doesn't know that? Do they talk about it? Do they question it? No. See, we live in an information fog. We're trapped inside this bubble, and they don't want us outside this bubble. And you can't get the truth. It's Alice in Wonderland. We live in Alice in Wonderland. 17 years later, still thinking that building 7 free fell without being hit by anything, dropped to the ground. And we look at that and go, whoa. But if you bring anything up, you're a conspiracy theorist. I know I'm getting off. I'm just telling you. I'm so wound up. Because I get to see Chad today. I get to see Chad. Got 8 minutes left.
Yeah. Coach, we need to be very careful that we don't become those we're complaining about.
In what way?
We need to do things. We know what to do. We don't. Prayer is important, but be like Nehemiah, pray on the way. If you see a need, that's your calling. And my God, if you can't see a need in the world today, well, you're not going to be able to help us.
Well, that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to give them some help. We're trying to give them some courage. We're trying to help raise them up. That's what we're all about. Listen, if I'd love to have Rush, I would love to have a position of influence beyond this. If I was sitting in Rush Limbaugh's chair, the Congress would have been turned over about 4 times by now.
Hey, Coach.
Planned Parenthood would have been defunded. Mm-hmm. We'd know the truth about Islam. Why won't anybody speak the truth? Go ahead, George.
You know, Coach, the greatest thing you've done for me, and I venture to say everyone in this huddle would say the same thing. Yeah, you put on a great show. You talk about stimulating things. But the greatest thing you've done for me is you've led by example, because the way I've gained more courage, because I wasn't always as courageous as I am right now. And you know what? I believe I'll be more courageous a week from now, because men like you have led by example. And that's what we owe our brothers, is to lead by example. I think that's what JR's saying.
Yeah. No. I know that's what JR's saying. And see, I'm not making fun of anybody. Larry can have STAB, and JR can have the Natural Family Foundation, and I can have the Salt and Light Brigade. If you guys don't get involved, I'm no different than Tony Perkins at the, what's the name of his group? They're getting together again this weekend in Washington, D.C., and after a big huddle and pointing out how American family, whatever it is, whatever. They'll get in there, and they'll have speakers come in and say, oh, the left's doing this. The left's doing this. The left's doing this. Oh, oh, oh. And then they'll all leave and won't nobody do nothing. Hey, guys, I know I'm right. I know I'm right. I know I'm right. And at some point, we're going to have to do something. Now, we can do something now, or we can do something when it's too late. I mean, I'm doing best I can. Can't do it without you guys.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And we're supposed to be doing something before. And you telling us, when you open up your mouth and you say such and such is going on, it's not enough to just say, oh, yeah, well, I told you so. What is my part in that? And that's what God gets on me about. And I know every one of you are the same way. That's what we're supposed to do. What are we supposed to do? And then go out and do it. And faith is a verb.
Bring that strong talkers back up, Jared. Hey, say, hey, listen. You know. Hey, pal. Listen, I don't want to. Don't want to upset you. You know they're teaching your kid in first grade about masturbation. No, they aren't. Oh yeah, they're teaching your kid. Yeah, they're teaching about masturbation. Damn, who the Buckeyes play? Are they home or away this week? That's the response you get, right? Right? Response pulled up there again. So here you go, Jared. Did you pull that up for me, bud? Yeah. So there you are. Hey guys, you want to make a dim pack? Want people to hate you? Always speak the truth. Be open-minded and willing to do new things. Create solutions in an innovative way. Be direct and straight to the point. Be strong-willed. Don't put up with those who just gripe and moan and don't want to do anything about it. Be kind. Wait a minute. As mentioned in the very beginning, those who seem intimidating at first are extremely kind people. People may be judgmental and judge you by your exterior as you don't waste time and succeed in anything you set your mind to. So they don't think you're kind, but when they get close to you, they know that you are. Don't make small talk. Don't let that conversation degenerate from the fact that they're teaching kids sodomy in school. Don't let it become about the Buckeye. Don't let it. Leave before you sit in there and let that stuff go on. Don't make small talk. Use the wisdom that you've been provided, and don't tolerate willful ignorance. That's what you got to do.
Jared, put that in the link, will you, later?
Because I'm going to tell you, that's me. That is me. And Glenn, that's becoming you. Hate to tell you, hey, George, that's becoming you. Hey, Larry, that's already you. Well, they don't like you. Direct, to the point, they don't want to hear it. Everyone, politically correct. Don't hurt anybody's feelings. Let them go ahead and sodomize your children in school. Just kind of go with a punch. Oh, well, it doesn't affect me. Those two guys next door, they're having homosexual sex out there. And it doesn't bother me. Doesn't touch me. Yeah, Lee. Man. Okay, so what's going on? Hey, we're gonna be in Dallas. No, sorry. We're going to be – it is amazing I could get a flight down there because the Buckeyes are playing in Dallas this weekend. So to be able to get a plane flight from Columbus to Texas was a pretty remarkable thing. So Michelle and I are going to get on a plane. We're going to be at Chad's bright and early. We're going to have a live, energetic broadcast live from the Estes Ranch tomorrow morning. Have a great rally. It's going to take place beginning tomorrow evening, but really kicking off Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. And if you get to Chad's early, you have a big breakfast. He didn't tell you that. I'm going to tell you that. And it's not going to cost you anything. You come and you fellowship and you draw strength from one another and encouragement from one another and understand that a cord of three strands is not easily broken. And we need to begin to do this all across America. Organize, get together, wake man up, stand up, speak up. If it's going to be, it's up to me. Lift up Jesus. He draw all men unto him. Stand for truth. Speak the truth. At this time and in this place. If we don't do it now, when are we going to do it? God bless you. See you live tomorrow from the Estes Ranch.